Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
I was talking there. Thank you, team. Awesome job. Give them a hand. I kind of wonder if the angels weren't standing around and Gabriel wasn't saying to Michael, you know, this is kind of a waste, having Jesus poured out for these people who don't love him.
Did anybody else hear the violins playing? Maybe? Yeah, Brittany was hearing flutes, you were hearing trumpets. Oh, okay.
Cello.
Yeah.
Not jello.
So it was during Dance With Me and everything, and I just felt like Jesus was romancing us during that song and everything, and like violins are so romantic and everything, and yeah, so that was really cool. Woo!
You know, I did hear strings. I guess I just thought they were doing that on the keyboards, but they're probably not, so. Well, you know, I've heard testimonies of God just joining in worship, the angels joining in on worship, and why should we be surprised? Really, why would we be surprised that the supernatural would want to invade mankind and engage mankind in worship of the one who's worthy, the one who's awesome and worthy to be praised? Well, we're going to do some video announcements. Henry's all keyed up back there. All right. Well, I think we have some upcoming stars here, the worship team, don't we? Sean, come on up. Sean has really some cool news to share.
All right. This one is good.
You okay?
Yep, we're good. Yeah, super exciting stuff. God just opened a doorway for us this summer for kids to go to camp. Kids in here, if you like to go to camp, clap your hands. All right. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up. We're going to be doing more with this. Henry, are we ready to go with that or not? We are? We're okay. I'm going to give you what this camp is Signs and Wonders Camp, and Lenny LaGuardia from IHOP is going to be doing it, but here's a quick video about it. Dan, can you hit the lights back there? Thanks. Wow. Awesome. Hardcore children's camp for the Holy Spirit. So the snow's melting, so we need to start making summer plans here. Nuts and bolts a little bit. August 8th through the 12th, so write that down. I have some flyers. I'm going to get more. I'll have like four or five of them back there, and then Kathy's going to print some more. We'll have some more next week. August 8th through the 12th, again, that's August 8th through the 12th, in case you didn't hear me say that. August 8th through the 12th. August 8th through the 12th. And what's really cool about this is God really opened a door. The Assemblies has a camp up in Alexandria called Lake Geneva, and something really cool happened is one of the ladies, this is not just this church, there's going to be a community of churches that are going to be going out to the Signs and Wonders camp at Lake Geneva. The lady that's heading this up happens to belong to the Assemblies, their church belongs to the Assemblies, and she called up and they said, you know, she thought, no way we're going to get into this camp because this thing is so booked that there's no way we can secure this space. Well, when she called, the lady called her back and basically said, well, funny you should ask. God kind of works that way, doesn't he? Funny you should ask, but we just had a spot open. It's been a long time church that they basically just don't have any kids anymore, so they kind of gave up their spot. So she has got a spot at Lake Geneva going forward every year. So we're going to continue to support this. Our kids are going to have a place to go to camp every year. Signs and Wonders Camp, So again, that's at Lake Geneva. There's a lot of really cool stuff at that facility. And it's pretty intense, but it's cool stuff. So if you get the form, fill the form out, and then just turn it back into the desk back there, and we're just going to get a running list going so that we know approximately how many kids are going. The other thing that we're going to do, and more about this will be coming up because they don't have a whole lot of it planned yet, but we do plan on offsetting some costs for people by doing some fundraisers, possibly some sponsorship programs, things like that, as we move into getting closer to the camp. So get excited about camp. It's going to be fun. All right.
Hey, man, you know, that's an awesome thing that's before us with being able to send our kids to this kind of a camp. Leonard LaGuardia is from IHOP, right? Yeah, so really a powerful minister. And Sean just alluded to it, but I really want us as a body just to be thinking, you know, it's a fairly expensive camp. And there are some people, we have some pretty large families in our house here, don't we? And to think that, you know, the larger families would be able to send all their kids or to be able to afford that. I just really do want to talk, you know, just really put a bug in our ears about maybe if you have a little bit extra money, you want to put it in your offering, mark it on your envelope that it's for the summer camp, just to help offset some of the costs for the families. Those of us that are kind of on the other side of raising kids, you know, we remember what it was like when money was always really tough and really tight. And so that's one of the things that we want to do. Kids, you are released. Children's ministry, bless them, Lord. Bless them. Marcy, do you want to come on up?
Am I plugged in? Oh, I am. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to ask if anybody needs an offering envelope. The ushers will be glad to give you one if you want to raise your hand if you need one. And want to encourage you that with your prayer or the visitor card, if this is the first time here, if you'd care to fill that out, we'd appreciate that and put that in the offering basket. Or if you're not going to use it, just slip it in the offering basket. Or if you have a prayer need, obviously, put that in, because they do get prayed for. If you have a prayer need, these prayer needs get prayed for over every week. So that's good. You know, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you that you are faithful. You are a faithful people. You are a faithful giving people. And the Lord wants to thank you for that. Wants to encourage you in your faithfulness, in your giving. And I don't really have a scripture, but I just wanted to encourage you that, you know, we know that we're never going to outgive God. And anything we give to God, he's going to give back to us more than we could think or imagine. So I just, you know, want you to hear the voice of the Lord today and whatever he would have for you to give. We thank you for your faithfulness. You are a faithful people. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to give. We are so grateful, God. And Father, we thank you for the abundance that you do give to us, Father, that we can steward, Father, here on earth for your kingdom purposes. Father, I ask you, Father, to bless those, Father, who give not only monetarily, but in so many other ways. God, I pray, Father, for a blessing upon each one, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be good stewards, Father, here, that those that that steward the finances here, Father, I pray that you continue to help us to be good stewards of what you've given us, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege, Father, of sowing into your kingdom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, want to come forward?
All right, why don't you go ahead and run that women's retreat video, too? Yeah, all right. Surprise, surprise. I knew they shortened it up a little bit. I didn't realize they shortened it quite that much. I don't want to remove that yet, sorry. I know that there are some people that are just dying to give some testimonies today. I want to open up the mic. How many were here last night that God really touched and God healed? There's quite a number. I want to just have testimonies. If God healed you of something emotionally, I know there were some significant emotional healings. Come on up, Mary. Just come on up, line up, those of you that were touched. I want to testify. You remember a couple of weeks back that I had been healed in my knee. And after I testified to that I could do this, I went home, and when I did other things, it was still hurting, and it was burning, and I didn't realize it. So last night, it got prayer, and God healed it, because I tell you what, those guys saw me testing it last night. I was doing everything I could to make that bugger hurt. And it's just healed. I mean, it was serious. It was surgery-type stuff. I hadn't had it checked out, but I could feel a tearing and a burning, and, you know, that's not usually good. So, yeah, it's totally gone. Mary, you got to get up here. Be bold, sister.
I'm just here to give God the glory for what wonderful thing he did for me last night. I came here fully believing that he was going to heal my arm, and praise God he did. But he did a much greater thing in me. He healed the wound that was in me for a lot longer than what was in my arm. And it's been removed, and that mountain has been melted off of my life. Praise God.
Are there others? Come on up, Rachel. Yeah, there's three of you coming. Come on up. All of you, come on up at the same time. Line up. Here you go. Would you rather do it down there?
Well, it don't matter. I'm up here now. A couple weeks ago, my sister got the diagnosis that she had colon cancer. And when we heard it, I was so peaceful. I was not scared. Not one person in my family was scared. And, I mean, that's God's peace when you hear something like that. So we just started praying that, Lord, just encase the cancer within this tumor. Don't let it go anywhere. Just wrap your hand around it. And so she had surgery on Tuesday, and they sent it to whatever it's called to get tested, whatever, and came back. Cancer's, there's nothing. It didn't spread.
Awesome.
Nothing. So God
awesome.
Is so good.
I was going to wait with this because I wanted to be sure, but I've had lung problems all my life, and this last winter I had exacerbating, I guess you could call it, lung problems. I've had three times I've had really serious things since Christmas last year, and it's been either bronchitis or pneumonia. So I just had it again a couple weeks ago. And this time I ended up in the hospital, and they did x-rays, and I had it in both lungs and blah, blah, blah. And I came home, and I finished the medicine, and I did not feel any better. I was really, really sick. And to make a long story short, I went back to the doctor to get x-rayed again. And they x-rayed me and said that the pneumonia was still there. So she sent me home with medicine, but she didn't send me home. She had already done an x-ray in the doctor's office, and she sent me up to the hospital to get this special x-ray where they shoot dye in you and they do you through a machine. And it's to tell, she was, I think she was thinking that I had something wrong around my heart, and that's what was causing the coughing, because it was like a terrible, terrible cough, but it was non-productive, what they call non-productive. And so anyway, I had the x-ray, and they made me sit there and wait for the doctor to call me back. And the doctor called me back, and she said, Marge, she said, it is not pneumonia. She said, it is what do you call it, Suze?
Pulmonary fibrosis.
Pulmonary fibrosis. And my husband died from lung disease, and it was pretty frightening thing, you know, because it's a death sentence. So then Susie and I went online, and we looked, and it varies from person to person, but it doesn't get cured. And the time amount and the time, the stuff that you go through varies. Well, I knew I was supposed to be here last night, but I didn't feel really good, but I came anyway, and I felt really good after I came. And I had prayer. Ken prayed for me, and his wife prayed for me last night, and prayed for a lung transplant. And Ken's had very good success before, and I believe that I had 2 lung transplants last night. I do not have any pain in my chest. I did not take any medicine. I did not take any cough syrup. And so just pray for continued recovery for me, because I can hardly wait for the x-rays to come back.
Yeah. Woo! I can. You know, Marge lives with us, and for the last 2 months, she's coughing continually. I mean, I hear her in the middle of the night coughing. Encourage her to sit in a chair so she wouldn't cough. And I really, this is the first time I've heard you sounding so good in literally months.
Amen.
So, awesome. Come on up, Daisha. How many love Daisha? You know what? I can.
I would like to just to give a testimony about myself. Last night I came here, I was feeling kind of overwhelmed. Anxiety, I guess, would be another way of putting it. And there's so many things emotionally that was just disturbing me. And I had prayer from Susie, and I also had prayer from Marcy. And it would just left me. The anxiety, the stress, it just left me. And I got a call this morning from my daughter, who is out in Newark, New Jersey. She told me that she's taking a flight home today, that everything is going to be okay, because she travels a lot in her job, and all that stress was just on me. I just felt like I just couldn't take anymore. And so I'm just really thankful. And I felt like I got kind of accepted by the church last night. I said, oh, I said, you know, I came here from Jubilee Worship Center. I don't know if you all know where that is. It's in St. Cloud. And I told Pastor Mark I was going to find a church home. I said, when I do find a church home, I'm going to come back and let you pray for me and for my new church home. So I'm inviting everybody who wants to come with me to come with me so I can go back. Because I do feel that you are my church home. I really feel that God has placed me here.
That this is a time, this is a season, God, that you're taking what the cankerworm has eaten, you're taking that which was stolen, that which was robbed, Father, and you're replacing it. Father, I pray that you fill her heart with love. God, I pray that she would know the acceptance that you have for her, that the body has for her, and Lord, that you fill her heart with love. And we just continue to stand against, Lord, the anxiety and the stuff that comes against Daisha. Lord, that she is free as a daughter of the Most High God, accepted and loved by you. We bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, I got prayer last night for 2 things, an emotional thing that's been a mountain in my life for years, and I guess I'm not sure if I'm healed, but I'm declaring I am, and that, I mean, I'll know when the issues come up. But I also got prayer for my arm. It stems from my shoulder. It was really bothering me. I just would lift a pan, and it would hurt, and it's like bursitis, I think, possibly. I'd gone to the chiropractor, and actually it felt like it was worse after the chiropractor didn't get any better. But last night, after they prayed, it was just like he had me lift up a Bible, and normally something not even that heavy would bother my arm, and it was just like, and even now it's just, yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You know, why are these things important? Why is it important to hear the testimony of all right, how's that? This thing is just weird. I can't figure it out. Of course, maybe it's the operator error. I don't know. Well, what's the big deal about somebody getting healed? Why do we make it a point to bring somebody up after they've had a healing and to give a testimony? See, we preach a gospel that we believe is for the healing body, soul, and spirit of human beings. That we preach a God who is a God of love, that he's a God who is good. He's not a God that's just waiting to find a reason to strike somebody down. He's not a God that's waiting to judge. You know, I read something on Facebook the other day, and something just stirred in me, because sometimes Christians just have this thing where they're looking for reasons why America should be judged. They're looking for reasons why God should just give up on our nation, give up on this people. And something just rose up in me. Something just said, no, wait a minute, that's not the God I know. My God is looking for reasons to bless. My God's looking for reasons to extend mercy. My God's looking for reasons to give grace to people. My God's looking for reasons to set them free from homosexuality, from drug addiction, from alcoholism. My God's looking for ways to set people free from anger and bitterness, hatred. See, my God isn't looking to judge that. He wouldn't have sent Jesus, his son, if his heart was for judgment. If he didn't have a plan for mercy to triumph over judgment, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. And there's something that's crept into the church, and it's a religious spirit that doesn't recognize the God who wants to dance with us. You know, well, we like to make God in our own image, if you know what I mean. See, our image says that you wrong me, you mess with me, I'm going to get you back. You do me wrong, and I'm going to get you back. See? And we tend to think that that's the way God is. You know, I'm finding out how much I think of people through my lens. And I'm finding out how often my lens is skewed. Because I tend to think that you all think and act and respond like I do. And so I tend to speak to people the way that I think they'll think, because that's the way I think. And there's something about that we've done that with God too. But I just want to encourage us. I tell you, till the day I die, I'm going to preach this gospel of a good God who's looking to set people free. Yes. A good God who's looking for reasons to bless and not to curse. A good God that's looking for ways to extend mercy and grace and not judgment and condemnation. So why is it important to have the testimony? Because the testimony releases something of the character and the goodness of God. When you understand that God healed my knee, and the scripture says that he's not a respecter of persons, then it means he'll heal your knee. If God healed Carrie's shoulder, that doesn't mean that God's a respecter of Carrie. He loves Carrie. Carrie's got a great relationship with Jesus. I'd imagine you're one of his favorite. You know? Me too. See, but there's if God would heal Carrie's shoulder, then he'll heal your shoulder. See, and there's this thing of engaging the truth, engaging the reality of who this God is. This one who sent his son to die for you and to die for me. I just want to exhort us in that. because I believe, and I'm coming to see it clearer and clearer all the time, I believe that God wants to do the same thing for a lost sinner as he'll do for my knee. You know what I mean? I believe that he wants to do the same thing in the marketplace. I believe that he wants to do the same thing in your extended family. I believe he wants to do the same thing just out and about as he does in the church. In fact, I believe he wants to do it more. I believe he wants to prove his love and prove his goodness to people in the world. And he needs you and me to be vehicles through which he works, doesn't he? Let's open up to, I'm not sure where I'm going yet. I got two directions I could go here, and I'm just not sure what to do. Let's open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now let's go down to verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let it be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. You can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as is in all the churches of the saints. And I'm going to stop there because I don't want to muddy any waters here. That next verse is scary to me. And I'm just going to avoid it for now. You know, one of the things that we love to do around here is we have an open mic. And if you're not used to a church that has an open mic, one of the things that we value in this church is that you, the body of Christ, can hear the word of the Lord. We had maybe four other people speak this morning already, and how many were encouraged by what they had to say? You know, how many were built up in their inner man with what they had to say? How many know that they probably said some things that I would never say? Not that I didn't think it was good, it's just that I wouldn't have thought in those terms. And there's something precious about having a freedom, having liberty in a house to be able to do something like that. When you have an open mic like that, how many know that we're taking a risk? You're taking a risk, aren't you? Every time you hear somebody speak, you need to judge it. Is this really, you know, kosher? Wouldn't be kosher anymore, would it? Is this really right? You know, you know what I'm saying. As a pastor, that's a huge risk to take, to encourage and to bring people up and to allow people to speak. Because God forbid, what if somebody says something wrong? You know, I guess I'm just not as afraid of somebody saying wrong as I used to be. Because what's carried in the body is too valuable to leave it sitting. However, there are some things that in order to make this work and in order for it to have order that we need to just kind of recognize as a body of believers here. How many remember Valentine's Day when the band was playing and Brian Kelva came up, and he got up here and he says, in fact, I wish Brian was here today. I asked him if I could use this as a teaching point, okay? But he comes up and he says, you know what? I just believe that God wants everybody to come up and dance before the Lord. And dance as couples. You remember that? And do you remember how the whole floor turned into a ballroom? And there were guys and they're you know, men and husbands and wives dancing and holding each other. Some were dancing with babies. Some were dancing by themselves. And there was this just this incredibly beautiful, to me it was just a beautiful picture of this romance that God has with us. And that seems to be a bit of an emphasis over the last month or two here. You know how God speaks in times and seasons. And so the whole place just turned into a ballroom. Now, how many know that doesn't usually happen in churches? How many know that doesn't always happen here? It's happened from time to time where we just come and we all feel, you know, we need to dance. We just need to let it rip. And that's all right. And it was really good. How many were edified by that? How many were built up in their faith? How many were encouraged in their inner man? Now, I didn't plan that. That wasn't my plan. It was something that came through somebody else, came up, and spoke it out. And as I was talking to Brian the next week, I just came to realize that, you know, that was really good, Brian, but, you know, there was something that just wasn't settling right with me on that. And I said, Brian, you know, in the future, it'd probably be good that when you have something like that that's going to change the focus of the service, that's going to call for a response from the body, it'd probably be wise to whisper to me first. Because you never, I might have something else in my heart. I might have something else that I've got to do. And it would be embarrassing to say, nope, we're not going to go there now. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. This was awesome. It worked out great. And I'm so glad that it did. I'm so glad that we were so built up with what happened that day. Because I'd rather teach on something when it goes right than try to do it when it goes wrong. But there's something, as a body of believers, we need to realize that God, you know, has put me in charge of this thing. He's given me a vision for every service that we do. Most of the time, my vision is just help, you know. I hope I know what to do when we get there, you know. Because we have purposed, I have purposed, you have purposed, we have purposed to, as much as we know how, allow the Holy Spirit to move and to bend and to sway among us as possible. You know, we just don't have any interest in having a set pattern or something that we just got a game plan and we go for it. That's okay. That's okay. And in a lot of churches, that's good. I'm not criticizing that. But I just feel like God wants to do something different here. That when Holy Spirit wants to take something a different direction, that we'll hear and we'll follow. I'm still believing there's going to come a time when, well, I can get into some of the different things that happen in a congregation like this. One of them is each of you has a teaching. You know, Kenny had a teaching this morning. There may come a time when Kenny's got a lengthier teaching that God is just, man, he's downloading this stuff in me, and I just need to get this out. Now, it wouldn't be good for Ken to get up and do a 15-minute teaching, a 20-minute teaching. Because, number one, what it does is, if I've got something else that I've got to do, there's conflict there. The other thing, you in the congregation recognize, well, this is somebody coming up out of the seat. And I know that Dave is okay with somebody speaking for maybe 2 minutes. Well, boy, 15, 20 minutes. Is Dave really okay with this? See, and when you as the body don't understand that that person with the teaching is walking under a place of authority, it makes you restless and it doesn't allow you to receive the things that are being taught. Does that make sense? See, and we've got to, when we have this freedom, there's just some things that we need to understand. There's some things that we need to do. There's some things that we need to treasure in the way of respect for leadership, who God has put in place. And you guys know me well enough, I'm not tooting my own horn. You know, whether it's Bob that's running a service, it really doesn't matter. But that God has put somebody in place to take and make it go somewhere. Now, I know most of the time you guys look at me and you say, Dave's clueless about what's going to happen. I'm clueless with a purpose. If that makes sense. Boy, am I twisting my tongue around here. No, I'm clueless. It's not like I'm just... When I'm looking for something, you guys know how that when I'm just kind of walking and I'm pacing, what I'm doing is I'm looking for a stream. I'm looking for a river. I'm looking for something that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And, you know, I just know that many times it's not me that carries it. Many times it's you that carries where we need to go. So we have this freedom. The Apostle Paul, in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, God willing, next week we want to go into chapter 12. I want us to take a look at the spiritual gifts and what does that really look like? How do you function in those things? But Paul has just really laid out a whole bunch of stuff to the Corinthians. Remember, they didn't have chapter 12, come back a week later, read chapter 13, come back a week later and read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. They read this thing as though it was all one letter written to them where Paul was setting some things in order. And with something as subjective as the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moves, you know, and where there's freedom like that, Paul says, no, wait a minute. Holy Spirit has some order to it. Holy Spirit has some order to him. To his ways, that there is this thing of finding where that river goes and jumping in and allowing the river to carry you where the Holy Spirit wants to carry us. So there's a couple of things that he puts in place. One of the things is, I love verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you can prophesy. Let's look at verse 6. I want to talk a little bit about prophesying and some of the verbal gifts. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation? That's one way that we speak. By knowledge? That's the second way. By prophesying? Or by teaching? There's four things listed there on how we, as the body of Christ, can teach. The first one is revelation. Have you ever been in a situation where God is just downloading stuff in you? You know what a good sermon is to me? A good sermon to me is when, like, Bob is up here preaching and he's just anointed and he's just going at things, you know, he's getting things. A good service for me is when I'm sitting in the chair and I'm maybe not even hearing what Bob's saying, but I'm hearing an anointing. Where the Holy Spirit is just giving me some revelation. And there's things that are exploding in my spirit man. And that's revelation. There are times during worship when we're talking about engaging, that was such a good word, about engaging the Holy Spirit, about engaging this lover of our soul. There's times when you're engaging that worship is going to take on a whole new dimension to you. You know, worship for me is something that is really a unique experience every time I come to worship. There are times in worship, there was a time last night when you went on the drums where I saw the heavens open. I realized that there was something that was going on in the atmosphere, and I just couldn't help but to start calling it out. I couldn't help but to start proclaiming it. I couldn't help but to start agreeing with what I saw in the Spirit. Why? Because I was exploding with revelation. And I had to begin to put words to the revelation. And I had to begin to start proclaiming some things. And I believe that there's something happened in the spirit realm last night over this city. Because again, we don't meet just for the sake of Living Waters Church. We're meeting for the sake of the city and a region. But our times in worship, as much as declaring the glory of the Lord, worship is something that's interactive with me. You know, where I give glory, I give honor, I give praise, but then all of a sudden I'll just kind of go back to where, oh, he loves me. Oh, he wants this in my heart. Oh, God, you're showing me this and this and this. God, you're calling me to intercede. You know, during worship is one of my favorite times to really just do intercession. So why? It's because revelation that comes. There's times during worship where God is going to begin to just explode revelation in the body of Christ here. And that's what it means when you come up. You can come to a meeting like this, and when you've got this experience, when Holy Spirit is all over you and is just exploding things inside of you, that you can come and you can speak out of revelation. How many know what I'm talking about? Can speak out of knowledge. There are times when you just know some things. There's times when you know in your knower. The word of knowledge. Last night, somebody had a word of knowledge that somebody had a bad leg. They thought it might be a hip, but, well, I took it for my knee. And speaking out of knowledge, speaking out of revelatory knowledge, knowledge that comes from heaven and settles on the human heart, is incredible. And it's something that we need to see as a body. See, there's this order that the Apostle Paul laid where you don't restrain the Holy Spirit, but how many know that sometimes following the Holy Spirit can be very, very subjective? And how do you know when it's the Holy Spirit and when it's not? You know, that's one of the risks that we take. When Brian said, let's dance, you know, come on, everybody, come on up, let's dance. And for me, it was just absolutely wonderful. What if Brian hadn't said that? Would we have missed God for the day? See, I don't believe so. I personally don't believe that God is just this, you know, we've got to do it this way, Dave. Dave, if you miss it by this little much, I mean, you know how legalism can get you? You know, that if we had to be absolutely spot on all the time with everything we said and everything we did for Jesus, we're dead. Not only that, we'd be fearful. You know, one of the things that I see in so many Christians is paralyzed Christians. Paralyzed Christians are Christians who want to move and they want to do things for God, but there's a fear in their heart that they'll get it wrong. Can I just say that there's grace in the house? That, you know, sometimes wrong is even subjective. Sometimes wrong might be really, really right to one person, and it's really, really wrong to another person. And part of the deal that we have as the body of Christ, as a body of believers, and with love for one another, is that even when we get it wrong, there's grace. See, everybody takes risk. Last night, different people were calling out words of knowledge. How many know that takes risk? You know, okay, everybody's going to hear me here. Somebody's got a wart on their little toe that they need healed. You know, and it's a word of knowledge. And now I've put it out there, and now everybody's going to be judging me by whether somebody is going to come forward that has a wart on their little toe. See, and there's this risk that anything you do in the kingdom of God that is by faith is going to be risky. By prophesying. You know, the word prophesying really means to foretell. Now, we tend to take and put all of the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, all the different things that we get, and we call it prophesying. And that's all right. I don't really split hairs with that. I can also look at that word that foretell means to tell forth the things. Some translations, some definitions say that it's to tell of a future event. You know, for me, that's all right. What I'm after in prophesying, what I'm after is when you're speaking under an anointing, what we're after when we're speaking as though we have a message from on high is that it builds the body of Christ, that it doesn't tear down, that it encourages, that it exhorts. Have you noticed how many times I've used those three words here today? Edification, exhortation, comfort. See, I grew up in the church under a system that said prophets just had to be these, you know, they kind of modeled themselves after the Old Testament prophets before Jesus took our sin. And the Old Testament prophets that were always calling down damnation and fire, health, you know, judgment. And somehow that leaked over into the New Testament. And you never knew if you got a word whether you were going to be, you know, pulled up by the collar and rebuked in front of everybody. Has anybody ever sat under something where there's somebody that's prophesying? How many have been in Alan Ross's meetings? Alan Ross. Okay, so Alan Ross, you know that the guy can prophesy at the drop of a pin over anybody, right? And have you ever sat in your chair and just kind of been a little bit uncomfortable with that? Is he going to choose me? Is he going to pick me? And we're always hoping. Why? Because we know Alan's character, that everything that he does is always going to edify, encourage, exhort, and comfort. Now, taking Alan Ross, somebody who can prophesy at the drop of a hat, and I sat under some of these ministries, but you never knew if they were going to rebuke you, whether they were going to uncover some kind of a sin in your life. You just never knew what this person was going to come with. Now, put yourself in that situation, and you've got that person standing over you, and he's looking around, seeing he's going to prophesy. Rather than putting on the bow tie that blinks and says, pick me, pick me, pick me, you know, you're probably crawling underneath a chair. See, there's something that we've just got to know in this thing called walking in the Spirit and allowing this spiritual freedom in a house. And that is that God is out to love people. And that you can carry a word of love. You can carry a word of knowledge that will release love into somebody's life. You can carry a word of wisdom that'll release something that'll just set somebody free. See, and by your words, and it doesn't even have to be in front of the church like this. See, I'm believing more and more that some of the most powerful ministry in this house takes place after we release. When you start rubbing shoulders with one another. And I've seen so many of you, and I tell you, this makes my day. When I see a prayer meeting going on over there, and I see a prayer meeting going on over here, and I see another prayer meeting going on over there, and my altar's empty. Doggone it. You know, that just makes my day. Because it's the body being the body. It's the body ministering to the body and building the body up in love. And you carry a word for people. But here's a bit of a challenge for you. In this setting, when you're ministering as the body being the body, the same rules apply to you there as they do if you come up and use the microphone. That what you're out to release in ministry to one another is exhortation, comfort, edification. I think I got the three of them right there. See, that those are the three things, that's the goal of ministering when you're out by yourself. Now, is there ever a time to bring a hard word to somebody? Is there ever a time to bring something from the heart of the Lord and speak it into somebody's life? I believe there is. But I believe, number one, you're not going to want to do it. You are not going to want to be the one that, all right, I've got this on him. I'll be the man that just exposes it. And yeah, I'll be the hero for God that I uncovered somebody's sin. See, you're not going to feel like that. In fact, the scripture says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So if you've got a word for somebody, it's also going to depend a lot on your relationship with that person. If I've just met somebody for the first time, second time, I have people come into my office that say, well, Dave, you're the pastor. You're supposed to have all the answers here. I go, yeah, right. But I still feel very, very careful about going beyond my relationship with that person. I'm very careful about intruding into something that I have not been given a right to do yet. See, that's the respect that we have for one another. That's the honor that we have for one another. So the cases where you're going to have a hard word for somebody, this word of criticism, this word of judgment, is going to be pretty far and few between. Why? Because I believe mercy triumphs over judgment. I believe that a word of mercy to somebody, even though, you know what? We all beat ourselves up pretty good, don't we? We don't need our brothers and sisters to come around and beat us up, do we? I mean, you know, is that what the church is about? Come on, pummel me. See what you can do. This idea of accountability. Well, I'm going to watch you like a hawk, Ben, because I've got an accountability compact with you, and you step out of line, and man, you've had it, because I'm going to make you toe the mark right here. Relationships like that generally won't last. There is a place for accountability. I'm in an accountability relationship with six elders. And I need their impact, their input into my life. And they need to at times speak to me some hard things. Places where I've got blind spots. Places where I'm just not seeing clearly. And I need brothers around me that love me enough to say, wait a minute, Dave. You're not seeing this right. See, but I've got relationship with these guys that they can speak into my life. I love what Wayne said about home groups. I've always loved home groups. In home groups, you build those kinds of relationships. I see in the body of Christ so often that our relationships are so shallow. That we really don't want to take the time and the effort that it takes to build really relationships where we can encourage one another, where we can love each other, where we can walk hand in hand, arm in arm with one another. So I just want to encourage us with this freedom that we have. The other thing that we see all throughout chapter 12 and chapter 14 is that the spiritual gifts, the things that we're pursuing, are to be earnestly desired. They're to be sought after. So what does that mean? I would say that what that means is that when you come to this house and you know that you have freedom, that you don't strive in it, but you relax into a word from the Lord. One of the other points of just kind of order that we need to follow. The Bible doesn't really say that only three or four people can come up at a time. It says two or three prophets or two or three people speaking in tongues. But how many have been here at a time where, you know, where there's just really you know how sometimes the atmosphere is just charged with a prophetic word? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, a three-month-old could prophesy, could wah, and it'd be prophetic. You know what I'm saying? There are times like that. And what happens in situations like that is you'll get, you know, five, six, seven, eight people coming to the front. And, you know, really, does that edify us? Does that build us up? Well, I guess it depends on how long of a memory span you got. Personally, I've got about a three-person memory span. Yeah, you know, that's just being kind of out there. But maybe that's something to consider as we have this liberty, as we have this freedom, that just remember that if you're coming up with a fourth word or a fifth word, and I'm not saying that it's not right to, God knows, and there's room, but just consider that most of us are going to be on overload by that time. And we're not going to be remembering the prophetic words that came before. The freedom that we have, to me, is precious. You know, as things grow, as a church gets bigger, as things just kind of happen along in life, it seems like you lose some of that. I don't know, I probably think too much. I always get accused of thinking too much, but I always think of those times, and I think, God, there's got to be a way, even in a large church, there's got to be a way to be able to allow freedom for the body to have input into a service like this. Why don't we stand together? One of the things that God is teaching us since the first of the year, remember prosperity of soul, what it is to be a body, a family, and having a heart for the poor? Did you get him, Ben? No, I missed him again, huh? You know, what we're talking about here is really, what does it mean to be a body? What does it mean that you have a freedom, that you have a liberty, that when God is moving on you, to be able to say, man, I'm exploding inside. I've got to release this word. I've got this word on covenant that I've got to release. See, and there's an order with which we can do that, that just seems right in the Holy Spirit. And order is not meant to confine. Order is always meant to carry and to lift, at least order in the kingdom. How many know God's order is quite a bit different than our order? And some of the most orderly meetings I've been in is when the chairs have been flying every way and water bottles are up in the air and people are laying all over and there's snot rags around. I tell you, that kind of order I could handle. That kind of order I love. And Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. But when Holy Spirit touches people's hearts, sometimes people don't understand what's going on. We need grace for one another in this body. If anybody needs healing, I want to invite you up afterwards. We'll pray for the sick, believe for recovery. You need somebody just to stand with you. If you've got some emotional, something going on in your heart, depression. I tell you, I hate depression. I want to see that thing broken off of every man, woman, and child alive. We'll open up the altar and we can pray together. There's coffee out in the back, and we want to invite you to that. But Father, Lord, we thank you for freedom. God, I thank you for this body of believers, Lord, who are hungry and pursuing you, who desire spiritual gifts, who want to know how to and want to be used and want to walk in ability to hear from your heart and deliver a message to a body. God, that want to hear from your heart and deliver a message to a coworker. That can hear from your heart and deliver a message to a wayward son, a wayward daughter. Father, I pray that you would change our perception of what your voice sounds like. You are the good shepherd. Your sheep hear your voice. They know you. You know them. Father, we have confidence in this thing called the church. We have confidence enough to have freedom and liberty. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessings. Love on each other before you leave. Give somebody a hug. Prayer teams, come on up. And anybody who needs prayer, come on up.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.